Hi, gang.
Hi, boss.
Hi, kid.
It's good to see you again, as always. I love each one of you just the way you are. Forget about your past. It is only real if you think about it. You are complete freedom, total bliss. Many of you believe you are bound. Bound to past experiences. Bound to your karma. Bound to wealth or poverty. Bound to health or sickness. Bound to misery or happiness. These external things are all bondage. But the truth is that you are unknowingly steeped in consciousness. Which is the truth you've been seeking. When you go through many experiences, you start to seek a teacher or a guru who can free you, who can give you liberation, who can do something for you. It may appear to take many incarnations to come to that place where you begin to seek a teacher of some kind who can make you totally free of this world and this universe. But again, the ultimate truth is you are already free. You are that consciousness, which is the reality. The reality you've been searching for. The reality that you think evades you. You are that right now. When I say you are pure consciousness, what do I mean? Consciousness is a power that is conscious of itself. Consciousness is conscious of itself as absolute reality, as effortless pure awareness. It is all-pervading, takes up all of space. And that's what you are. You are steeped in it. You are nothing else but that. Everything else is an illusion. Everything. Everything you've been searching for, everything you're looking for, all of your hurts, all of your fears, all the things that make you sad do not exist. Yet somehow they appear to exist because you feel these things. Yet going through these experiences myself when I was a little kid, and transcending them, I can assure you they do not exist. The world does not exist as it appears. The universe does not exist as it appears. God does not exist as you think he does, or she does, or it does. Your body does not exist as you think it is, as it appears. your thoughts and your mind do not exist. You are absolute reality, total freedom, bliss. There is nothing to search for any longer. You have come into your own. You are totally free right now. Doesn't this feel good? Doesn't this feel good?
Sure does.
Some of you look at me sort of funny.
You want confirmation?
Some. I don't know, you have to tell me.
That's okay. Take a minute.
There is only the one. There are not two or three or four or five. There is one. You are that one. You have always been that one. No matter what you do, you will still be that one. You always have to think. Why do you have to think? You think you have to think. Yet there is no thinker. You think you have to know. Yet there is no knower. You think you have to be. There is no being. There just is. And you are that isness. When you admit that you are that power, nothing can hurt you any longer. When you accept that you are the one, no harm can ever come to you. When you admit you are that pure consciousness, that is like having an entire army on your side. An army of angels, so to speak, protecting you, guiding you, directing you. Leading you towards the goal. Whatever that may be. If there's any such thing. We all want goals. How can there be a goal if you're already that? But yet you want to say to yourself, day by day and every way I'm getting better and better. The day never comes because he's putting it off into the future. The fellow who did this made up this statement, I think, it was the name of Milky Way. I remember that from years back. He never told you how many people were cured or healed because of saying this.
My mother used to do it for hours on end. She'd repeat that.
Did anything ever happen?
Not a damn thing.
Dead Henry.
She got worse.
You have nothing other to do with it.
She got worse and you got worse.
Yeah, well, crap fell out of my boot.
But there is no power that's going to make you better or give you more happiness or bring you joy and abundance and love. Where would this come from? There would have to be some type of entity there making it happen. Oh, it helps, of course, if you want to blame God or give God credit. It makes you feel less guilty. But when you begin to understand that there is no God to turn to, it becomes a little scary to some of you, doesn't it? For all these years you've been turning to some kind of God. And it did bring you more peace. Actually, what really happened is you brought the peace to yourself. Peace is your very nature. You are peaceful. So because your belief system believes in a God someplace, naturally you're going to feel much better when you pray to this God, because you empty yourself out of all of this stuff that's been inside of you. You pray it all out. So this is good for many people. There's nothing wrong with this. But as we mature, as we grow up spiritually, we begin to know that there is only that which always was. There's only that which is. There's only that, period. Nothing else. What is that? There's no explanation. Again, the finite can never understand the infinite. It is virtually impossible for the finite to understand the infinite. What then can be said? Should I go on preaching for 2 or 3 hours and tell you all kinds of nice things to make you feel good? Then when you walk out this door, all the misery returns to you. All the stuff you've been thinking and feeling, the fears, frustrations. You have to sort of grow up and admit to yourself, I am that. When you realize that you are that, without trying to explain to yourself what that is, you become a powerhouse. For all the energy in the universe functions through you as you. You become the essence of all things. The whole universe hastens to you. For you are that. And it's sometimes sort of difficult to understand. How can you be the essence of everything and yet feel that you're an individual? And some of you really feel your individuality. You really feel it deep inside. You feel deep frustrations or deep fears or some kind of bodily signs that make you feel miserable. These things cannot exist when you understand the truth we're talking about. The substratum of your existence is consciousness. And consciousness is like a chalkboard. All the trees, the mountains, the beauty, the ugliness, everything is an image on the chalkboard. The images keep changing. Just as when you erase the images on the chalkboard and put new images on the chalkboard. The chalkboard always stays the same. The chalkboard never changes. This is why I can truthfully tell you that you are the universe. For the whole universe, including your body, that's the hard part. Sometimes you may admit that the whole universe is within you, but you still think you're a body. But I'm saying to you that the whole universe, including your body, is simply a superimposition on the chalkboard or on the self. Imagine that. Everything that exists, it appears to exist, is an image on the self. And you are the self. The way people come into this teaching, into this consciousness, the way people awaken to this truth is by not trying to analyze it. You can ponder that this is true. You can ponder the fact that you are like a chalkboard and your body and all the images of this universe are superimposed on the chalkboard, on consciousness. But do not try to figure it out. Do not try to analyze it. Why? You are using your finite mind. Remember, you cannot use your finite mind to try to understand the infinite. So anytime the great minds come along, the pundits, we try to analyze it and break it down and prove it and come to conclusions. Never get anywhere. This is why it is written in most scriptures of the world, you have to become like a newborn babe to know the truth. Why? Because a newborn babe does not think. There are no thoughts. To stupefy it. Make it impure. most of you are afraid to stop thinking. You believe some evil spirits will come in and get you. You believe that you will become like a log. Just become dumb, vegetate. This is far from the truth. There have been so few people who have awakened, who have become pure, who become self-realized. And these people keep to themselves in most instances. You never hear of many of them. There's no one to confirm this for you. Just crazy old me telling you these things. So you're afraid to let go. Well, you do not know what will happen if you let go. I've had many people tell me this. Yes, Robin, I am afraid to let go, because if I let go, I might lose interest in my job, I might lose interest in my family, I might lose interest in the things I like, the things I love to do. I might become a vegetable. Nothing can be further than the truth. When you let go completely, when you surrender totally to yourself, and you stop trying to analyze things and figure things out for yourself, you stop trying to use your brain, your mind, to come to any conclusions. What we call the self takes its place. For there's only the self and the images. There's nothing else, there's nothing in between. There's no purgatory. There's no space in between the self and you, and it appears to be you. There's only the self or consciousness. But what you're doing is you're thinking the consciousness of the self is your body. Just a mistake you're making. When you let go of the body idea, the self shines in all its splendor and glory, all by itself. There are no stages you go through. There are no stages you go from one to the other. You are either one or the other. And the so-called stages that you think you go through are simply part of the other. This is what it means again in the scriptures. Whom shall I follow this day, God or Mammon? Mammon is the relative world, including your body. God is consciousness, the self. Yet you have to make up your mind whom to follow. You have that freedom. You have that freedom to accept the truth for yourself, to accept your reality. But if you go around worrying and hurrying and fearing and fretting and complaining and thinking something is holding you back, analyzing your dreams, practicing all kinds of occult things, you are creating further illusions for yourself. You're doing this all to yourself. Try to remember what I'm saying to you. There's only one or the other. There are not three planes of existence or four planes of existence or things you have to overcome or things you have to transcend or transmute. All this is nonsense. There is only God or mammon. The self or the world. Take your choice. You are free to take your choice. Again, let me assure you, there's absolutely nothing to worry about. You will never become a vegetable. You will never have the urge to go to a cave and give up your family and your job or anything else. Unless this is what you were meant to do in the beginning. If you were meant to do this in the beginning, you would have already done it. In other words, what I'm trying to say, when you come into yourself, the real self, there's no real vast change in your life. This is important to understand. Most people believe when they turn into a self, they become liberated, then they become a saint of some sort, and they're walking on cloud nine. They can walk through fire. They will not drown in the ocean. They can jump off bridges and fly. This happens when you take LSD. And then when you become self-realized. When you awaken, you appear the same as you are right now. Only you're totally free. That's all. You're completely, totally free. Your people will still see you the same way you are now. They will not see any difference. If they stay with you 24 hours a day, they'll notice that you do not react to things any longer. They will notice you become an embodiment of peace. That you're always happy. Nothing disturbs you. But you'll still have the same body, so to speak, until it's time to drop it. There's absolutely nothing to be afraid of. It's a wonderful experience. Why not do it? I'm taking away all the fears from you, all the frustrations, and you know nothing strange is going to happen. So drop it right now. Become free. Liberate. Let go. Are you letting go? By the expression of some of you, You're holding on for dear life. What are you holding on to? I suppose it's a little difficult to let go completely. You don't want to. Remember, it's taken you so many incarnations to be what you are now. To have the kind of body that you're wearing right now did not come easily. It just didn't happen. You have so worked for it. It is a body that you have earned, so to speak. If that's what you want to believe. And it's taken you many incarnations to get this body. Therefore, you're afraid to give it up. That's why you're afraid to give it up. It's like owning a blouse or a shirt for 30, 40, 50 years. You've gotten so used to it. Even though it seems to be wearing out, fading away, you still have the desire to hold on to it. Then somebody has to grab it away from you and throw it in the garbage.
That's your job.
That's what I'm doing. And then you may cry a little bit. My favorite shirt, my favorite blouse is gone. But you get over it. Soon there are new shirts, new blouses. And the old is disregarded and finished. So it is with the body, with the thoughts, with the mind, with your experiences, with all the stuff that you're made out of. You're afraid to let go of all this stuff. We've carried it around for a long time. And I come along and say, drop it. And one way you say, I want to drop it, another way you're afraid to drop it. For as I said before, your mind keeps telling you, don't drop it, this will happen, that will happen. You'll become a vegetable. You won't have any interest in work. You want to give up all of your pleasures. Your mind plays these games with you. Your mind tells you all these things. So this is where sadhana comes in. Now you know the reason we do sadhana. Sadhana simply makes you strong mentally, physically, to be able to let go. That's all sadhana does. Sadhana never enlightens you. It makes you one-pointed in your quest for realization. It makes you compassionate. It develops humility, power. It transcends all fear. And when you finally get to that point, the inner guru grabs a hold of your mind, yanks it into the heart, and you become liberated. But until you become strong enough for this to happen, you will remain as you are. That's why, just as like there are Sunday drivers, and certain people will come here, just like Sunday drivers. They listen to what I say. Sounds good. Good talk. They go home and share the talk. They keep on living the same old life. They do not drop anything. They just keep adding on. Just like having an overflowing garbage bill. You keep putting more garbage in, more garbage in. You can't hold it anymore. You keep pressing it down, putting more garbage in. This is what some of us do. We add on to what we already learned. More sadhana. More teachings. We run to teachers all over the world, looking to add on to ourselves more and more and more. Well, I keep telling you, you don't want to add on, you want to empty. Therefore, why do you need more books? Why do you need more teachers? You want to empty what you've learned. Become totally empty, free. Then something will happen. This is the reason I tell you once in a while. You have to be completely and totally honest with yourself. Do not fool yourself. Look at yourself and see the way you are. See what you do all day long. The way you react to things. Do not ignore these things. Do not imagine that they don't exist. If you have a bad temper, if you become angry a lot, if you're always trying to change things, it'll go your way. Those are the very things that are holding you back. Those are the very things you have to get rid of. You have to get to the place where you have no opinions for or against. Again, that's a sort of heavy one too. Where you're saying to yourself, how can I go through life if I have no opinion for or against? And I try to explain to you all the time, there is something within you that will take over and lead you toward right action. You will do the right thing. When your mind stops functioning and becomes passive, what we call the consciousness or the self takes over immediately. And all will go well with you. But if you begin to analyze this saying, well, all going well with me means I'll have this, and I'll have that, and I'll be this way, and I'll be that way. That's where you spoil it. Remember the finite can never comprehend the infinite? So if you start outlining in yourself how things will be when things get better for you, you're making a grave mistake. Leave it alone. Again, this is what it means in the scripture when we say, let go and let God, as it were. Get yourself out of the way. allow those divine circuits to start working for you. You are your worst enemy. Simply because you're holding on to all kinds of thoughts and preconceived ideas and concepts and all kinds of stuff that's hurt you in the past. Let go. Give up. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. That's all I have to say. Feel free to befuddle me with your questions.
I have a question. On Sunday, I talked a little bit about inasmuch as reality consists of nothing, or no thing. In the so-called dream state, during the deep sleep, a dream arises out of nothing. And it's witnessed. And then it goes back to me. And the same is true, I suspect, with an hallucination. I agreed with that to a large extent. And afterward, I asked you something about we awake from the deep sleep state into the waking state, which is no more real or no less real than the so-called dream we had or the hallucination we might have experienced. When I mentioned that to you, you made a remark of some, but I can't remember what it was. Do you recall that by chance?
No.
Do you have any comment on what I said?
What you're saying is correct.
That's good, thank you. That's all I need.
The dream state, the waking state, hallucination state are all the same. You're hallucinating right now. You're going to see a doctor. But you are correct.
I have one other thing. At the risk of bringing down the wrath of God and this company, I'm going to quote some scripture and I'm going to interpret it. And I want to see if my interpretation is right. If it is, that'll make me feel good. If it's wrong, I'll feel correct. Anyway, St. Paul, in one of his letters, said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, then I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. Well, what that seems to mean to me, seems to mean to me, in the first part where if he is talking and he's so eloquent and has all these beautiful ideas, if he feels that he is separate from the person or people that he's talking to, he's separating himself from his own creation. In other words, there's a difference between the speaker and the hearer. And in the other part, where he has these cities and visions and all that stuff, he's separate from his own creation. If he's without love, love is one with creation, or without love, there's a separation when in actuality there isn't. It's all one. If we accept the idea intellectually that there is one, I guess at one stage of the game, at this stage, we almost have to. We deal with words and concepts. That's all I have to work with. But if he's without love, he's nothing. He's setting himself apart from creation. Want to comment on that?
The first thing I would ask him is, St. Paul, what do you mean by love?
Love is no separation. Love is the opposite of separation.
This is true. Therefore, what he means is, if he is infinite consciousness, the self, which is love, then he is the master of all his things.
Like you've been talking about.
Exactly. But if he doesn't have this feeling, this understanding, this realization, then there's nothing. So the word love is synonymous with the self. And absolutely nothing but pure oneness.
God.
God.
Or words. These are good words.
Or friends.
Make it better. Pointing to the truth.
That's a good interpretation.
Thank you, sir.
did in helping some of us move closer and let go of more. Particularly appreciated your efforts to help us let go of fears of letting go. I realize as you spoke that you've said it before, but I realized I needed to hear it again in order to help me let go of layers of fear. Because as we get close, the old questions come up, even though you've already answered them before. And it's like, when you review it, then the fear subsides again. And it's just wonderful to hear those assurances. It's like you know what, it seems like you know what some of us need. Or maybe it's a universal condition. I really appreciate your sensitivity and your empathy for us as we grovel on the ground.
Who's doing that?
I had an experience. Is what I'm saying sound the way off the mark?
No, I know what you're talking about. I appreciate what you're saying.
I had an experience this morning that may help others that, in case they haven't noticed the why in their own life. I was involved with a professional this morning that had a lot of power over me, and yet he was trying to order me to do something that was wrong in my mind. And I didn't know whether to lie to him and say, yeah, I'll do it, or fight with him and cause him to be upset in our working relationship the rest of the few hours. And that would make, and I'd be scared of what kind of emotions he'd be putting into the work. And somehow, something happened, and I just was able to give him an analogy of what he was doing to me by telling him about a story of a man doing something to another person, and help him to empathize with what I was going through while he was putting me through this rigor of trying to force his will on mine. Somehow he caught it, and his gentleness came out, and his aggressiveness subsided, and I felt this tremendous relief inside that I had been true to myself and yet gentle with him. And maybe that's a quality that everyone else in this room already has, but I don't. And so to be able to be honest and gentle, or lovingly gentle and honest, or candid at the same time, made a tremendous release in me. And immediately I noticed that I was feeling the light and the inner energy much stronger for hours. And I think it's been with me throughout the day so that I've been much more receptive to you, the energy that you carry around today. So your speech tonight just sunk in deeper than usual because of my having been open more so today. So I see the value of honesty, and I'm looking at all the other lies in my life that I can open up by honest acts, you know, the real tough ones. And I guess as I see that as an aid to becoming more receptive to your energy, which I guess is the energy of integrity, I guess I feel like saying it in case there's one other person in this room that could benefit from that.
I think you speak well for most of us.
Very well put.
It's very good, George.
Robert.
Well, let me finish with George. The first part of your question, or the statement, I should say, when I repeat everything that you finally gained, it's like the sun and the fruit. When the fruit begins to grow, it needs sun. And the more sun it gets, the larger it grows, until it comes to fruition. So the sun has to come on every day and do the same thing, to shine the fruit. If the sun stops shining on the fruit will cease growing and die. So the sun has to repeat itself day after day after day. So somehow, I'm like the sun, and you are the fruit. As you keep surrendering and listening and listening and surrendering and listening to the sun, sometimes repetitively, the day comes when you become ripe and you fall off the tree. So judge anything, I'm going to fall off the tree.
Robert, there were quite a few moments when you were pushing the I am that idea that I actually was starting to feel I am that for the first time. But then the I thought would come back. So I said, no, we better not play a trick on ourselves and think that we really believe that I am that. We better keep shoveling out the I thought here. So that's where we were tonight. We were like, I am that, and shoveling out the I thought, I am that, and back to the I thought, I am that. And if you have any words of wisdom on that, in that state, feel free.
I am that. That's it. You're doing very well, George. John, you're going to say
something. I'm sorry for interrupting you.
No, that's okay.
Robert, when you were speaking about letting go tonight, from my own personal experience, there was a time when I was very close to passing. And if I had listened to the doctors, and if I had believed my mind, and believe the appearance of the body, I would have passed. And I had to take conscious control of my mind and fill it with every single word of truth that I could muster, that was standing on the Word of God. And it was literally praying without ceasing. And if I had let go, there was no way I would have passed. And I would have passed in pain and in fear. Only by taking conscious control of my mind that I was able to come out of it. So to say let go, I can't. In that particular instance, for me, letting go would have been unthinkable.
You don't know that. That's what you imagine. What you did was on a mental plane. And that's good enough. It helped because you're still with us. But then if you let go, you have no idea what will happen.
I wouldn't be here.
You don't know.
The way that if I followed my mind and stuff, there was no way I could.
No, on the contrary. You have no idea. Perhaps if you let go, something would have come into self, and you would have been healed amazing. There's no telling. But you worked in the mental plane. And that was necessary because you did. Remember, everything is preordained.
Well, I've seen many people who let go, I mean, who just allow things to be and who do care. And who have passed with pain, with apparent pain, or fear, or whatever. So when you say something would have occurred, it's hard to believe that.
Well, they're not letting go. The people are referring to are not letting go.
They're giving up.
Right? They're giving up, they're reverting to their fears. When I say let go, there's no fear. What I'm referring to is love. Total bliss. That's the letting go I'm referring to. Not fear. Not giving up. There's a difference.
Better to stay in the body.
That's true also.
Well, that's not necessarily true, but I do believe that if you pass without a consciousness of passing, you're in the illusion. I mean, you get into the whole process. If you don't awake before you die, you die. And you go through a reincarnation. That's my belief.
But you're talking as if you have something to believe in, to do with it.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with you.
But Robert, the point is, I don't want to get into a philosophical discussion. I'm just trying to understand about letting go.
Mm.
The letting go, unless you fill your mind with, say, love or fear, there you would be letting go into the world mind.
You're right when you say that. I'm referring to a person who works on themselves. And then they let go. Remember in the beginning of the next lesson I was talking about the things you have to do before you let go? When you finally let go after you're evolved to the point where you let go, then there's only the self. There's only bliss.
So the truth, there is work to do. I mean, you can't just tell anybody to let go.
I'm not speaking to the average person.
So
the average person doesn't know how to let go. Because you're right, they will let go and they will feel fear. They will feel that they're alone. They will feel all kinds of things. So I would not tell the average person to let go. I would never tell them to fill their mind with anything either. I will let nature take care of everything. There is something within you that tells you what to do and knows what to do. And the whole idea is to trust that something. To surrender to that something. Then you will let go and be at peace.
I know the other lie in my life. I feel like just announcing it, and then maybe I'll be ready.
Okay.
The other lie in my life is after I turned 50, I told my mother, I think I won't bother explaining my personal life and life with women anymore. I'll just say my wife died and I'm a widower. It makes life easy and happy. You don't have to explain in detail so much. So I think what I'll announce tonight is I've been married twice and divorced twice. And with the space in between to have a lot of, you know, adult experiences with women that an adult can handle more capably than a teenager. And that's it. I think that's something that I don't feel like having every person that questions me go into details about. So I just cover it up and say, I'm a widower. I figure at my age now I can get away with that. It's easy. If I bother explaining all the things I did in my 40s and 30s and whatever, even though they were, you know, great experiences, makes life easy, but I realize it's living a lie if I'm saying it out of shame or a lack of fear of rejection. I think it started from the fear of rejection. Oh God, this guy's been married twice, and he's no good, obviously. And I think it was a fear of rejection and shame. Because I didn't grow up in a culture that favored that, not even one. So I'm practicing honesty tonight with about 20 people in hope that see if we can get the Big Bang going again.
you, Jones. Also, to further answer your question, Steve, if you've read the life of Ramana Maharshi, you will see when he had his experience when he was 16 years old, he crossed his hands on his chest and he was about to die. He let go completely and he watched. He watched his body dying. But it was not time for him to die. So he came back as a witness. And his whole life was available to us because of that incident. So there's further proof that if you let go, you will not necessarily die.
But you might die, and that would be okay too.
That's okay too, right? Hmm. Of course. Just as if you might fill up your mind with all kinds of truths and still die. This is what we observe, and this is what we see. Yet if you ask Ramakrishna or Ramana Maharshi, do they suffer? They would say no. No one suffers. Because they were not the body. Yet the body appears evident to us as being real. But there's no body. It's all part of the relative world. It appears real, but it's not. Therefore, when we observe this, we have to ask ourselves, who sees this? Who feels this? And we realize the ego that goes through the experience of seeing somebody die. But there's no suffering or death in reality.
Nisargadatta Maharaj, he was dying of cancer, or his body was dying of cancer, was asked if he was suffering. And his answer to that was, there is great pain. There was no one suffering, but there was great pain.
He felt pain, yes.
He did. There was great pain, was his exact answer.
But he was not the pain.
No. There were just, but the pain was there.
Sure. That's something sort of difficult to look at. So it's difficult to understand. That there's pain. There's no identification with the pain.
No, he had absolutely no idea. He was the witness of the pain.
Yes.
Completely free of it.
Without the pain,
he didn't. There was no pain to feel the pain.
There was no one left to feel the pain.
Pardon me?
There was no one left to feel the pain. There was just pain.
Yeah, I understand it.
But for lesser mortals, such as Ramakrishna, is that experience of a near death or a loss of great loved ones sort of a non-attachment, an experience of
it's more than non-attachment. They have totally transcended the body experience. There's no body. So there's no suffering for them. Yet the pain appears to be there. But it's not their pain. It's in person.
See, for example, St. Francis, when he was in his early 20s and before he renounced the world, when he had a very long illness, it was very severe, that kind of thing changed the rest of his life. And was that, it was as if his life were going to be taken away, yet was not. And then he felt the sun and regained his vision and renounced the world. That kind of near loss, is that a deepening of a realization that it's not real, it doesn't belong to you, and you're free from it?
Exactly. It was similar to Ramana Maharshi's experience, when he wasn't suffering. He just said he was dying. And he said to himself, so this is what happens when you die. And he never died. He just died to his body. This is the same with St. Francis as anybody else. There's no difference, it's always the same.
Would you give to someone who is suffering, say, terrible cancer pain, if you were to have just a few words to try to get through to them?
It depends. It depends on the person. I would have a lot of compassion. Love. I would just be there and not give any advice whatsoever. Just being there and holding their hand is sufficient. No words may be exchanged. Would you read it, Annie?
Yes. My poor eyes. For Yanni, realize the identity of his inner being with the infinite Brahman, there is no rebirth, no migration, not even liberation, for he is already liberated. He has firmly established in an experience of the absolute existence, knowledge, bliss, the Satchitananda Atman. The continued existence of the world and of his own body appears to Vyani only as an illusion, the appearance of which he cannot remove, but which cannot further deceive him till the time when, after the decease of the body, he wanders not forth but remains where he is and what he is and eternally was, the first principle of all beings and things, the original, eternal, pure, free Brahman. While living, and even when the body falls dead, the Yani rests in his own essential nature, his own Svarupa, that is all full, all pure, timeless consciousness and bliss. The following assertions made by Ajani constitute his own deepest convictions and experience. I am infinite, imperishable, self-luminous, self-existent. I am beginningless, endless, decayless, birthless, deathless. Never was I born. I am ever free, perfect, independent. I alone am. I pervade the entire universe. I am all permeating and interpenetrating. I am supreme peace and freedom absolute. Ajani lives forever. He has attained life everlasting. Cravings torture him not. Sins sting him not. Birth and death touch him not. He is free from all cravings and longings. He ever rests in his own Satchitananda Svarupa. He sees the one infinite self in all, and all in the infinite self which is his being. He remains forever as the infinite self of consciousness and desire.
Thank you, Mary. We've got some beautiful prasadi. Feel free to enjoy yourself. We've got fruit. Remember to love yourself, to pray to yourself, to worship yourself. Because why?
Your word Jehovah is in me.
God dwells in you as you.